life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility. But driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
I'm excited about news from us.
News from us.
No, seriously, because we've been talking ever since we upgraded the logo. I've been talking about the fact that that's a bit of a bummer because we don't have anything, any merchandise and stuff with the new logo.
You're right.
Problem solved. If you go to the store tab on our website, everydaydriver.com, we have a brand new expanded store as well.
Hey, we've check gone, this out. I'm
we've
going
gone
there
through
right
Teespring
now.
Because we've actually gotten better deals out of it. We've also finally been able to do – I wanted to do this since you built the logo because the logo for the Icon movie is so cool.
Well, thank you.
But we wanted to wait until we got all these new round of shirts up. So the new Icon shirt, for those of you that wanted that Icon shirt, that's up there. It's also available as like a sticker. There's a ton of product. And there's a very cool word art mug. And I'm not a guy that drinks out of mugs, but I'm going to get one of these mugs because it makes me laugh.
Totally.
So lots of stuff.
If you're drinking hot coffee and it's going to come out your nose from reading the mug and laughing.
So lots of stuff at the new store. So everydaydriver.com, hit the store tab. You'll see all the new stuff there. If you've wanted some new logo swag, that is where it is, plus the 911 design as well, that really cool line art thing that you did there. And the Cheap Phaeton shirt has survived the switch. It's all
yes,
on there.
It
it's just all got new logo stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, it has. Even the car debate has found its way just to stickers and handy grocery shopping bags. If you live in an area where bags are banned, apparently helpful.
Well, Los Angeles, for example, you can't go to the grocery store without bringing your own bags in or being charged for it.
This is true.
Yes.
This is true. Well, guys, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining us as we are debating a couple of guys who's both have surnames that start with Z. Did you notice this?
There's the link.
Together.
You always tie together. Otherwise, their car debates are very different, but
they
I
are.
Do like the discussion on both.
I will say that we have talked about debating very inexpensive cars, the cheap $5,000 car, $5,000 Phaetons, all the way to really expensive, way out there. And so I always try to kind of have somewhere in between. We kind of go back and forth. You'll probably notice on various podcasts, maybe
kind
we'll hang out into
one
the,
of each.
The low end of the range or one of each.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll spend one podcast just, you know, cherry picking what's the amazing stuff
blowing
with a
out.
Huge
yeah.
budget.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of people writing to us.
Sure.
And thank you for doing so. With all kinds of budgets. And one of them is Michael Z in Dallas, Texas. He's a medical student, and he's in the market for a car between $45,000 and $75,000, topping out at $80,000.
That's where he gave you a Paul Limiter, which is that's a great amount of money for a lot of good options. That'll be fun. Mostly going to be a commute car, but hopefully he'll grow with it. We also have Kevin Z writing to us. He's from L.A. He has an interesting problem.
Yes, he does.
Too much clutch foot. This is the problem. I don't know that that's a technical designation, but he now is having a problem with his Achilles tendon, tendonitis in his Achilles tendon from clutching so much in LA traffic.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a sports car with dual clutch. Yeah, there you go. This should be called 405 ankle. That's probably what it is because it's pretty much what's happened here.
It's not terrible.
So anyway.
I don't mind that. But also it ties together because Michael, who we're starting out with, is a medical student, so maybe he can and offer, you know, some suggestions.
Forget the pink slips for a minute. Michael is going to call Kevin and go, what you need to do for your Achilles tendon is this.
Exactly.
Yeah, frightening.
Well, I'm glad you're a medical student because, you know, when it comes to blood or the sight of blood, I am the biggest wuss on the planet. I mean, and my sister is an RN, and
yes.
She'll throw out these medical terms just to get my goat.
The terms
make you
sick.
You
have a very, very fragile constitution when it comes to injury. I have noticed this.
I don't know why. I mean, I dropped an X-Acto knife in my knee a few years ago, and it made the tiniest cut, and I got all lightheaded because the blood, you know, started pooling on my pants. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
My sister laughed at me.
Yeah, of course she did, especially with what she does for a living. So Michael is commuting in Dallas, Texas, and he breaks this down pretty well. He has a 2015 Mazda 6 Touring with a stick shift. That's a cool car, and he loves it.
He does not have 405 ankle.
He does not.
Currently.
There's no 405 ankle going on in Dallas. But the reason is because, let's be honest, you know, my wife's from Dallas. I've been to Dallas plenty of times. There's plenty of traffic in Dallas.
Yeah.
But because he's a doctor, medical student, he's traveling at off hours. So he's not struggling with the traffic.
Right, right. He's also saying, in being in Dallas, he's got greater than 100 degree summer weather. Is there any city in Texas that doesn't have greater than 100 degree summer weather?
Not really.
I'm genuinely asking. Pretty much all of Texas.
But he brings up a great point, though. He's talking about really hot summer weather, only outdoor parking, which is a great point. Texas,
right.
The crazy thing about Texas is that there's so much space down there that once they get done building one development and one kind of sub-city, they just build another one next to it. They just keep going.
You have Chang's Cheesecake Factory. And
then they restart it 5 miles away. They just start it again. It just keeps being duplicates of the same, 20 blocks over and over and over. And I say this as a guy that came from Texas. So I have the ability to say this. Houston's this way. Dallas is this way. They've just got land. But what is interesting is you rarely actually see big parking garages. Because all of these businesses have just got big lots. Here's a lot. We'll just pave it. It'll be cheaper. And off we go. So everything's outdoor parking.
Right. You need an electric skateboard to get from your car at the very back of the lot all the way into the building.
Yeah, what are they talking about it with electric scooters? It's like the first mile and the last mile. That actually relates to the parking lot to the hospital here. That's true.
Exactly. All right. So the current car search here, and Michael has indicated that he's going to be test driving these cars over the next few months because he's not in a hurry. So late 2017, early 2018, but he is looking for new cars only with preferably good lease rates and residual values because apparently he's going to be able to receive some tax benefits with leasing. But I will say, Michael, this is a debate. And so I have to bring up used car options because
there you go.
This is a debate.
I have a used car as well that I want to bring up, and I have two new ones, neither of which he mentioned.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so here he's 6'1". He said he's a young Asian male, and he appreciates cars that are not white, black, gray, or silver. Okay.
I am a huge fan of color. Thank you, sir.
And he's limited his search now to several options that he has sent in to us and listed his thoughts along with these cars. Mm-hmm. So very briefly, let's run through the list and kind of what would we do. Now, again, topping out at 80 grand, which is a huge
It's a figure. Lot of money.
Well
he's,
done.
That's he's got amazing. He's got a good range. I mean, 45K, you start getting into a lot of really nice cars. But being able to run all the way up to close to 80, yes, there's tons of great options here. And he's listed a bunch of them.
And, I like that some of the cars you've listed, you're not spending all the money and staying at the top end
of
the range.
No, true.
Which is cool because, as Taz said, you can get so many great cars starting out with a 2018 BMW M240i. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about the 235i that we love.
Yeah.
This is the refresh. There's a little bit bigger engine, limited slip differential. He's liking it because it's agile and good for commuting and good for parking spaces. Okay.
And stick shift is a requirement here.
Yes.
So there's across all stick shift all options cars. As well. Yep.
Yep. Glad you mentioned that. Also, the 2018 Porsche 718 Cayman and Cayman S.
Mm-hmm.
I heard there was an orange 718 Boxster that drove past me just the other day here in Park City, and I rolled my window down and just listened.
Yeah, and?
And I didn't recoil in horror. I just listened.
I think that whole problem is overblown. I mean, I haven't had a full day to drive one in all conditions.
We haven't been in it and actually lived with it
but
yet.
But I think the problem's overblown. I really do.
All right. So he's wondering about the four-cylinder sound, of course. And, kind of unsure about the two seats, even though at this point, no family, no kids, not really worrying about that at this point, and just going for, a 2+2 or just the two seats.
Yeah, and he does ask, he said he drove the base, and I'm going to say to you right away, get the Cayman S. If you were going to go this route, don't get the base, get the S. You're going to be much happier. Most people we know that get one of those cars, forget the 718 for a minute, just Boxers and Caymans. Once they get into one and they drive it for 6 months, they kind of wish they got the S. So in this case, it's worth the bump up.
All right. So we've got a new Mustang GT premium fully loaded. That's the new refresh.
With all the new extra goodies.
The magnetic ride, the active exhaust, sound of the V8, all that stuff. That's a Texas car if there ever was one.
Absolutely.
I mean, high speed, open roads. Yeah. It's a good size car. And good for cruising, occasional tracking, because Michael does indicate that he might be tracking some things occasionally.
He wants to learn. He wants to head that route. Mm-hmm. And it's hard in Dallas or Houston, or unless you're like in Austin in the Hill Country area, that kind of thing. It's hard to find good twisties in Texas.
Yeah,
so
you keep mentioning
you kind of have to go to – but most of those big metropolitan areas have got a racetrack nearby. So I know Dallas has got stuff nearby. So he's talking about maybe doing some autocrossing, doing some tracking to get, I hate to say it, but to get tight corners in.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. He wants a car he can learn with. That's a big part of this. So I see where he's going.
Okay, so the Alfa Romeo, the Giulia Quadrifoglio is on the list.
Ooh.
Fantastic car and definitely a candidate for leasing.
I agree.
Absolutely.
You avoid any potential, what is the reliability going to do by just leasing it. And we, if you've seen our piece, that versus the M3, that's a really impressive car.
Oh my gosh, yes. The drawback here is no manual transmission.
Very true.
In the US.
Yep, very true.
So, okay. Maybe that's out as it is just because of that reality. Grand Sport, C7 Corvette, Grand Sport Corvette is on here. It's he's wondering about the, you know, the price differential between the Cayman, 718 Cayman, you know, got the V8, two seats.
Yeah.
Kind of wondering about the midlife crisis kind of.
He's wondering about what does that say? He's wondering what does it say?
But ultimately, I like your last sentence here, Michael, that you want to drive the car for you, not for someone else, which is what we encourage.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. And then finally, the BMW M2 is on the list. And you've mentioned in here the C-Class AMG Coupes and the new Audi S5s and various things you like from both of those cars kind of manifesting itself in the M2. But then you come back to the M2 40i, which you really love.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're already kind of leaning that way. And then, yes, this, you know, is an unrealistic dream for a lot of people. So again, congratulations. But it's fun to talk this through, though.
It
because
is.
This is his reality.
It
honestly,
is. Absolutely.
This is where
absolutely.
He's at.
Yeah, I want to touch on a couple of these. And then I've got two new ones he didn't even mention and one used one I think needs to at least be driven.
Okay.
What all do you have for this?
I've got three used because I have to put these out there because
at
this budget, and I know you're thinking about leasing, Michael, but at this budget, I cannot ignore these cars.
Sure. Okay,
they've
good.
They've got to be talked about.
Good.
At, you know, if you've got this much money to spend and then two new choices to consider.
Cool. Great. Well, I actually want to start with the M240 versus the M2. I get the sense from you, Michael, that you don't feel like you need the bump up to the M2. And
yeah,
if you're feeling that way, I'm kind of the demeanor of then just do the 240.
Mm-hmm.
I think, especially since this is a car you need to grow with, I don't think you need everything the M2 does. It's awesome. I really like that car. But if you feel like you're kind of happy with the M240i, I also suspect you can probably get yourself a better deal out of the M240i than the limited edition M2. You can just go get a car now and not worry about, do you have it? Can I get the option?
True.
You just go get it. You just go get, just solve yourself that whole problem. Just go get one. That's actually the reason that the lower 240i wins for me. I really have no complaints about the M2, but I just think ease of finding it and having it. Just go with
ease of obtaining the car.
Seriously, yeah. Seriously.
That is a factor.
The Cayman, if you want to go 718, I would definitely go Cayman S if you want to go that route. Alfa is a little bit of a curveball because it's the big sedan of this group. I mean, I have no complaints about it, but that's a very different feel. Everything else you're chasing is, let's be honest, away from what you currently have, which is a four-door sedan.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this Alfa pops up. I'm glad that it's on your radar. I just feel like since you don't have kids to worry about, you're getting a car just for you. Let's just not do the sedan yet.
At the very least, go drive this thing, though. At least
that's
have
fair.
This in
no,
your
no,
hip
no, that's
pocket
fair.
As
yeah.
I've driven that car. Wow, I like it for these reasons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not right now. At this stage of my life,
and since
not
he
right
wants
now.
A manual, that's another reason I think it's out. I like the C7 Grand Sport. I think you'd be perfectly happy with the C7 with the Z51 package. Just the C7, not even Grand Sport. Save yourself a little bit of money.
Sure.
Why not? You can probably get a better deal on that one because, again, it's a little more – I mean, a little more mundane, but it's not a mundane car at all.
They are fun to drive.
Yeah, they really are. So I think you could go that route. But I want to mention a couple here.
Okay.
But I will actually mention my used one first because I feel like it's the obvious omission. You can get a used 991 911, the current 911 used.
Yes.
Tons of options are out there, Michael. I'm talking ones that just came off lease or one that got sold. They're a year old. With you having as much as $80,000 to spend, you could have genuine options on a 991 911. I know there's the cliche of I'm a doctor driving a 911, but they're great cars, and it would do everything you need it to do. It's the all-purpose commute and good air conditioner and nice place to be, and by the way, you want to track it, fine. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I don't say that, it's an omission, so that's why I mentioned it.
Sure, fair
but
enough.
But the other two that I really think you should drive, first one, oddball because there's no manual transmission, but when you said you wanted to get a car for you, I thought, go drive this car.
Okay.
Mercedes GLA AMG 45.
There it is.
I mean, why not? They're 55, 60 grand. They are one of the kings of the hot hatchbacks. They're 20 grand more expensive than the rest of the hot hatchbacks, but they're undeniably fun. They have attitude, and you're just going to – the thing about Texas commuting is you're going to want to have – some people have asked us this before. If you don't have twisty roads, what do you do? Kind of want that power underfoot to just laugh about.
Hellcats for everyone, right?
Well, to some degree. You do kind of want that. And the AMG 45 is just – it's this angry little puppy dog. You know, it's this fun little car that just shoots off. So it I think you should go drive it because it's more fun than you think.
It's unique. You will not see that coming and going.
So that one. But then almost a sniper shot for me. But I had to mention these others. That's why it isn't. You mentioned the Mustang GT, and I agree. The new one, fully loaded, cool and all. But for this money, Michael, you can get the GT 350, and it's a much better choice.
Thank you very much. That is on my list, both new and used, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. You could just get one slightly used for somebody that thought, you know what, that car's not for me.
Yeah.
Pay less.
Yeah, but either way. And that car's going to hang on to its value better. If he's worried about that at all, which is in here, that car's going to hang on to its value a lot better. Get it in the six-speed. If you just never get out of second gear in that car, you will still find it fun. Just the engine note alone. It's got personality. It's got much more personality than the Mustang GT, which you heard our Billy Johnson podcast last time. He's a big fan of the GT. He was development driver on the GT.
Yeah.
The current GT is a genuinely great car. But for this budget, the GT 350 is better.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I love that car for this budget, as you said. So, diving in... Michael, I told you that used cars had to be on the list because if you're looking at a 240i and you're looking for somebody, a car that's just going to light you up, you've got to at least go drive a 2011 BMW 1M.
Yeah.
I mean, Valencia orange.
You're right.
You could, for that kind of budget, that kind of money, you can buy the nicest one out there.
You're right.
With the lowest mileage possible. And go learn on that car because your last paragraph here, you're saying, you know, having a little bit of sway, a little bit of credence at a Cars and Coffee wouldn't be a bad thing.
True.
You want to develop your driving skills with this car through daily driving and tracking occasionally, mm-hmm, as we've talked about. But then your thought here is, I'm thinking maybe the ultimate performance cars might be too big of a step from the Mazda 6.
Possibly.
You know, if we're going from Mazda 6 to Grand Sport Corvette, that's a big leap.
It is.
Power, grip.
The GT 350 is a big leap in that regard, too. For sure.
So that's on my used list, food for thought.
I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's a definite drive. And you're right. With 70 grand in your pocket, you can get one of the nicest 1Ms out there.
Probably find a brand new
one. With 45, 50, you can get a great one. With 70, you can get one of the best ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Except for the crazy person that's selling theirs for 100 grand. Yeah. Don't buy that one. But exactly. But seriously, you can get a great one for that, and it is a fantastic car. And the people – it's one of those perfect cars. It's going to keep its value, but it's one of those perfect cars where he pulls into the parking lot of the hospital. Nobody's going to look twice. It's going to be doctor and BMW that's not the high-end BMW. Who cares?
This is exactly
pull into
what
a Cars
thinking.
And Coffee, and everybody's going to go, cool, he's got a 1M.
Street
it
cred.
It does both.
You're
instantly.
A driver. Yeah. You're a track
rat. That's
you're
great. I like it.
You know, all those kinds of things. All right, so the last use consideration here is an R8. An Audi R8 with the V8 and a manual transmission. Holy cow.
Yeah. He could get a deal. He's going to look like a baller, though.
Yes. This is a different car.
Yeah.
But food for thought. I just had to put that out there. Coming back to new, I love the 718 Cayman S on here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not convinced that the four-cylinder is not a reason to buy this car. I love the look. Mm-hmm. I love all the updates. I mean, of course, it's me, but I think that's a great choice for you. And it's, I mean, the 991, yes, also a great choice, but because it's not a 911, that sort of separates you as more of the enthusiast.
Possibly,
crowd.
Yeah.
You didn't just get a 911 because you're a doctor, you're a dentist, and welcome to 911ville.
There is that possibility. That's a fair point.
Oh, a Cayman. Oh, 718 Cayman S. What is this all about?
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
And then. Another new choice, I don't know if you've even thought about this, but this is very different.
Mm-hmm.
A Jaguar F-Type manual transmission.
Yeah.
Easy money. You can easily get a car for this kind of
for
cash.
For sure, yeah. And don't even get the big boy. Get one of the V6s.
Correct.
You'll have plenty of power, and you'll have better balance.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Manual transmission on this car, very different look. It says class and style, but you didn't go the traditional route of 911. And here's me saying this about 911s.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a great call. It's a really great call.
Interesting. Again, food for thought. But when we're talking this kind of money, you've got time on your hands. And mm-hmm. I want you to know that the car you get is the right one. Maybe you do come back to the M240i and say, you know what? It's a half step before I go full blast.
Yeah.
Before I get my 911.
I have to admit, I like your choices better than mine this evening.
Well,
I like the GT350 still, and I want to leave that in the pool.
Oh, yes. But that 1M, I'm thinking, all right, with this kind of money, if you're thinking 240i, 1M.
Yeah.
Street
you're right.
Credit, no, cars you're right. and coffee. You know, all that kind of stuff.
And ignored by everybody else. That's what I like about that 1M so much. The 1M in the parking lot at the hospital ignored. It's just a, you bought a what you whatever. Who
What's
cares?
This little BMW
but
thing?
Exactly. But at Cars and Coffee, you have a 1M. That's great. I like that a lot. That's cool.
Well, Michael, again, hope this helps. We really appreciate you writing in. And I know that it is a struggle even at this budget. It's fun. But, you know, hey, is what it is. So thanks for writing in. Guys, we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, moving on to the next guy with a last name starts with Z.
Yes.
Everything Z. So Kevin is in L.A. He of the 405 ankle.
He has 405 ankle, yes. that's going to be our shirt from tonight. 405 ankle. Yes.
That's really good.
I love manuals, but I have 405 ankle.
All right, so Kevin is a first-time writer, long-time listener to the podcast. Thank you for writing in.
Definitely.
And he is really not knowing where to go next. He's discovered the YouTube channel of obviously the podcast, and he's not sure where to go because of this problem. He's hurt himself driving in traffic in a manual transmission.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about the fact that you can do it.
Absolutely.
But on a daily basis like this, it's just going to nail you.
Yeah, you're accepting difficulty.
Happened.
You are accepting difficulty for sure.
Yep. So he searched the internet for solutions to his problem. And has having trouble finding a reliable source of information on this issue.
So I'm not sure that we're going to be able to be of much help. We're going to add to the pile of people that just have opinions. Yeah, but what's interesting is he has an 06 GLI. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's not directly a direct comparison, but it's kind of the for the U.S. sedan version of the GTI. It's not exactly that, but that's kind of what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And so he has this 06 GLI that he is in love with. He's still in love with it. 10-year-old car, loves it. Have
Super
I mentioned
cool.
yet that he loves it? I mean, he even puts love many times in his email.
Yeah.
Huge fan of it. But this is that manual transmission problem. So we've got to... Honestly, we've got to get a car that he will like this much, but now we've got to go dual clutch. And he doesn't want the ZF transmissions of the world that happen to have paddles. He wants a genuine dual clutch experience. But where this gets interesting is $25,000.
Yeah, this is very intriguing. And as you said, you've touched on the paddle shifters. And I think to clarify, Kevin, instead of just wanting paddle shifters, because there's so many cars that have buttons or little tiny ears or paddles or moose antlers, as
Absolutely.
You call them on the Alpha. I mean, there's,
and they are,
there's all different sizes. But that doesn't necessarily correspond to the transmission you're looking for, which is, as Todd said, you want a dual clutch because that is truly the enthusiast choice there.
Yep.
Among
yep.
the best are Volkswagen Group, as you said, BMWs, the Porsche PDK, of course, the Evo,
Evo
MR
10.
Has a great one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of choices in here, but again, because of your Achilles tendon injury, we've got to look out for that. And so you're looking for, you know, something along this lines that'll give you that enthusiast feel, but then in commute you can just relax, hang out, sit. Well, you'll be completely stopped on the 405.
But when he goes to canyons, he can go hammer his way down a canyon, left foot on the dead pedal, run and right foot only, have paddle shifters. I mean, this has got to cover the gamut. Mm-hmm. And he brings up a few things, and he actually, I am applauding you, Kevin, honestly, because you brought up the Evo, and I'm so glad you brought up the Evo, because you even mentioned you have a 5-month-old at home, so you're going to have a back seat, so we're not just free and clear to do whatever we want. So you've got a 5-month-old, you've thought about Evos. I'm going to say it, yes to the Evo MR, because
it's up there.
A part of you even said you feel like, and I love this coming out of a GLI too, that coming out of a GLI, your personal dream car is a manual WRX. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I thought, well, then Evo really is kind of the spot here.
Yeah.
You know, because the WRX, and I'm reading in to this email of Kevin's here, but he said WRX, not STI, which says to me a little bit of subtlety. Not
true.
The big wing, have you noticed me version.
Festooned.
But that's the thing about the Evo X MR.
Yeah.
Is you lose the big wing, you get the little ducktail thing, it gets the nicer BBS wheels. If you get the, and I will say this as a guy that likes color, you get that in the gunmetal gray, that is a sleeper car. People that know what it is go, ooh, like me, ooh, Evo MR.
Right.
Everybody else doesn't know what it is, doesn't care.
Who's looking up at the Evo MR?
I am now in the Lotus looking up at everything.
Right.
Yes. I look up at toddlers in that car. It's bad news. Seriously. Yeah. Anyway, I hate to say this, but the guys that panhandle on the side of the road, the homeless people on the side of the road, I'm looking eye level with their dog. That's where I am now. They're standing there,
the
can't
dog's
see them.
Wondering what it.
Dog's looking at me. Anyway, yeah, terrible. I think the MR is massive shortlist car here. You have to drive one. I really think it could be the answer. The only downside here is even a 10-year-old GLI is going to have a nicer interior than the MR.
I am very much inclined to agree. Yes. I love that it's on the list here. I come around to one car though.
I have two others, but that's good. Excellent. Go for it.
It's not often that I get to do the sniper shot.
Okay.
But reading through everything, you're a Volkswagen fan. Okay. I went round and round and thought, could I find one? Because $25,000.
That's the hard part, for sure.
I think we're limited. I think we're tapped out at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, all right, it's got to have dual clutch, Volkswagen group, keeping it in the VW family.
Clearly, he likes – that's really spoken to him. That GLI Volkswagen feel is speaking to him big time.
Plus, 5-month-old, back seat.
Yep.
Comfortable car, but still
– I wonder if you went something else on my list. Keep going. Please keep going.
Still will do this. I went for the Audi S4.
You didn't go where I thought.
2012
okay, cool.
or 2013 Audi S4 with the S-tronic. Make sure it's S-tronic because this is Audi lingo for dual clutch. The Tiptronic is the automatic. The S-tronic is the dual clutch, which is what you want.
Okay.
And so I went shopping. A little bit higher miles, but I did it. Under $25,000, you can get a 2012 or 2013, and you can do it with the S-tronic. Man, I think that's your car right there.
Yeah.
Audi, that, nice interior.
You do see the progression from GLI.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like an inflated GLI kind
of. Yeah, it is.
Keeping the dual clutch. And like I said, you're going to have to shop really smart, really well, look hard. I'm wondering if you can get it around 40,000 miles, 50,000 miles, somewhere in there, something well taken care of.
Yeah.
But this, I think, is your car. I'm going with just this.
Okay.
Because it fits the needs.
Sure.
I love the Evo idea, but the Audi has such a great interior.
True.
And the dual clutch disappeared on the brand new S4.
Mm.
It's gone. It's changes its mind transmission kind of from Audi. The marketing speak
new
is
from
very
Audi.
Vague.
The indecisive automatic.
It is. They've gone away from this. So Kevin, I think you're looking at an S4.
All right. I like that sniper shot. I really was struck by his mention of the manual WRX, and that makes me really want to lean toward just the Evo, but I don't feel like I can leave it just there.
Okay.
So I do have to say, because of the clear, this email is, it's dripping with Volkswagen love. Okay? That's the best way I can think of. There's
good
a lot of
it.
Volkswagen interest here. So I thought about Volkswagen and thought, you absolutely can get yourself a really nice GTI with the DSG.
Yeah.
So you should at least look. You're going to be, a year or two old at this kind of money with the DSG. So you're going to jump up 10 years in car culture, but stay within the Volkswagen group. If you shop really smart, you might get lucky and get the current, because it's been out just long enough, I think, get the current Golf R with a DSG.
So you're saying the Mark 7?
The current one with the DSG. It's been out just long enough that you might be able to find one. I don't think that's likely, but it's possible. While you're looking, look. If you can get the Golf R, obviously bonus.
So I went looking for the Mark 6 Golf R.
But they were all manual.
Only manual transmissions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem.
So the 7, maybe, maybe. The GTI all day long. I mean, 25 mm-hmm. grand GTI done. Golf R, maybe, depending upon a nationwide shop, you might find one. So look at that. And then also in that category of you just might find one, I have to say it. Last gen, the 90 series M3, the E90 or E92 M3, $25,000. They've been around long enough. Got great DCT. The BMW DCT is excellent. If you're shopping dual clutches, it's excellent.
Oh, that's good.
That V8 has got personality all day long. Go look.
Oh, that's good. I like that a lot.
They're going to be a little higher mileage, but go look because 25 grand, they've been around long enough now. That car's in your range.
E90 M3, four-door.
E90 M3. But even the 92 might work.
92 you might know? Work, yeah.
The 92 coupe might work.
But if
you could find a 90 for this money, I think yes.
Ooh. If you could do it for 25 grand, that's the big problem.
That is
because
the big
then
question.
You're looking at higher mileage and maintenance
for sure.
and all
for
that
sure.
kind of stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
But that's a car that, I mean, dynamics, we love it. You're going to end up rear-wheel
good.
Drive,
I
excellent
like
dual clutch.
And here so, I was yeah. sold on the S4. I still don't think it's a bad choice.
I don't either.
But I love the E90.
There's a different enthusiast feel if you wind up in that BMW M3. So I'm going to put that out there.
Man.
We're talking careful shopping, Kevin. But I think if you really started to chase that, I think you could find one.
That's pretty good. Okay. Well, as you were. No, I still like the S4. I still like it.
I know. I like it.
Plus, it's in the Volkswagen Group family.
I like that in these two debates tonight, we have preferred the other person's choices.
Totally.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Oh, man. But that E90, oh, that's bringing back memories of
it's awesome.
You know, shoveling fuel at that car.
Yes, you almost need a tanker behind you.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's not a concern here. But yeah, that you almost need one.
Well, we've solved the 405 ankle problem.
We have.
If
yes.
you're listening and you also have 405 ankle,
call
write
out
to us.
At everydaydrivertv@gmail.com with your debate about 405 ankle. Yes.
I'm telling you, that's why I tied in Michael, the medical student. Because, you know, the Z last names, mm-hmm. medical problems.
I think it normally strikes when you get right underneath the Getty Center. That's when it really strikes hard. That's what it's
exactly.
bad. Yeah.
You look up, you wish you were up there smelling the flowers and looking down on the
terrible
poor people in traffic.
We have so many audience questions tonight. I always do the same thing. I sit down with the all the social media things open. I start scrolling. I start copy-pasting the questions that I like. And normally I wind up with six. And I think, you know what, that's enough. This is like my six favorite. I've got like 12 tonight. We won't get close to covering all of them. But I just kept copy-pasting great questions. Thank you guys for sending so many. They're wonderful. A quick mention here that on Thursday of this week, Chance will be here. We will, of course, post for questions again.
Yes.
He's going to be sitting in for Paul. He's going to talk about Pirelli World Challenge. We're going to post for questions. So think about what you might want to ask Chance later in the week. Right now, you've asked us a ton. I don't know how many you marked, but where are you on this?
A lot. I'd like to just jump right in with our friends Ben and Ben from Gears and Gasoline.
Excellent. Glad you're doing this.
They have asked us about the best way to sell a car,
mm-hmm.
at least our opinion. Because I put up a car for auction. You probably saw the 1973 Skyline on Instagram, and they were asking about this. So it kind of got them thinking about, you know, auctions, Craigslist, Facebook, trade-in. You know, what do we think as far as the best way to sell a car? You had yours on online for quite a while.
Yep.
You had a few nibbles, but then, you know, out of nowhere, your FRS just got a ton of
interest. I had it on
interest.
The Utah equivalent of Craigslist, which is called KSL here, and I had it on Autotrader. And ended up selling it to somebody on the Craigslist equivalent. But I got, in the same week, all of a sudden, after it was posted for 6 weeks, all this interest came in at the same 10
so
days.
Strange.
I don't know why.
It sat there and it sat there.
Yeah. And sure, I posted that pros and cons video in the middle of it, but half the people that contacted me hadn't seen that video. It's just this weird, all of a sudden, people are looking for FRSs. I think the answer here, Ben and Ben, is what's the car? Because I think it changes a lot based on the car. I think if you're selling a car that you just want to get rid of, that's going to go less than 10 grand, that you just want to sell it locally and you want to save yourself hassle, this is what Craigslist is for.
Agreed.
If you have a car that is a unique car, you have a Lotus, you have a 1M, you have a car that enthusiasts really like, that's when auction can benefit you. And we love Bring a Trailer for this. Except for the fact that if you have extra money, Do not go on the Bring a Trailer site.
Extra money. What is that?
There are those people. I'm not one of these people, but those people exist.
Extra money.
Do not venture near. Or if you have a budget that you think is, I've got 20 grand, but you could actually budget-wise afford 40, don't go on Bring a Trailer. You will come home with a really cool car, but your money will be out the door. So,
no kidding.
But if you have those unique things, especially if they're in good shape, the auction sites are great, and we're a big fan of Bring a Trailer, more so than like the eBays. I actually think that the Auto Tempest, Auto Trader world is great for most things, mm-hmm. most average things you're going to sell, because you can get a really wide net that way. But if you are getting something new and your car is worth something, you can because you guys asked, what about trade-in? Trade-in, you're going to get the least amount possible for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's an equation where how much do you want to avoid hassle? That's the benefit of trade-in.
It is. You know you can just get rid of the car.
You drive in one, you drive out in another. And yeah. Sometimes that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Bring a Trailer, did you see what is Chris doing asking you about that Lotus 340R from the year 2000 on Bring a Trailer recently?
Yeah.
I saw that too, by the way.
I go on Bring a Trailer. We get the email every day like everybody else does, I think. I go on there about once a week. And suddenly an hour is gone, and
totally.
I am trying to figure out what limbs to sell. Bring a Trailer is fantastically awesome and terrible all at once.
It just gets you thinking. It's great. I will say that for the under 10 grand car, everybody has that street corner in their town that everybody parks their cars on
and
writes in soap or does a terrible sign for sale.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I've never been a fan of that, to be honest. I've never really considered buying a car unless it really intrigues me.
Sure.
But, I'm mostly online, to be honest. I mean, auction I associate with the high-end auctions, to be honest.
The big, like the Gooding. Like we have Monterey Car Weeks happening this week.
Exactly.
You're thinking
right.
That. Okay, interesting.
I always associate that. But there is Mecum. Dana Mecum has a great auction that is, you know, more affordable stuff. I mean, there's, you know, $15,000 cars on there, $19,000 cars.
Yeah.
And
which doesn't even pay for your entrance into the tent at something like Gooding. Exactly. Yeah, I take your point.
Gooding is, I mean, there's celebrities in the crowd that want to be left alone and they're adding to their collection. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just kind of depends. So I'm definitely about the online thing and putting it out there, word of mouth. Of course, it does help to have a podcast, you know, when you're trying to sell your FRS. But strangely,
how my car sold. Yeah. I mean, I did get some interest. Thank you guys that wrote in that followed the show. But it was interesting if you've heard that story already, to the guy that I sold it to, Adam, that's loving the car. He found the car first and connected it to the show second. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy. So anyway, who knows?
Which is cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so we've got Brandomness on Instagram here. He's asking about tips for do-it-yourself car maintenance for those of you living without your own garages, and you've got your cars parked in public ramps, parking garages, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how do you work on your own car, do oil changes, brake pads, when all you've got is a parking structure?
Mm.
I remember going through this. I had a lot of years of going through this. I mean, I lived in Fullerton, California for a while, and I had a single space, my Honda Accord. I was doing that. I found an outdoor faucet. I don't know who was paying the water bill, but I was using it to wash my car.
Of course you were.
And it's one of those things where you got to do what you can. And it's the beg, borrow, steal, you know, kind of thing.
It is, yeah.
And you know, I've seen plenty of people, I've done it, you know, when you're in your parking structure, if you've got your stall space, you can do it, you know, buy some shop lights, set it up, and you've got your space. So hopefully, you know, maybe friends have a driveway or a shared driveway like that. I do not recommend draining your oil into the street drain.
Oh my gosh, and please don't. That's terrible.
I have seen people doing that.
Yes, and I've seen it too. It's
gasped.
It's chilling, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, they just, that's a drain for anything, right?
Well, yes, that's horrific.
Please don't do that.
Seriously, that's horrific, but it leads to what I was thinking. First off, some apartment complexes have a real issue with this. So you may want to ask around subtly to see if it's an issue. Or you could do what I've done sometimes in life, and that is ask for forgiveness and not permission. So you could do that.
Yes.
But specifically, though, I would say, first off, make sure you have the right tools for exactly what you're doing. And in the case of the oil change, you need to have an oil catch pan. I mean, do it right.
Absolutely.
The second thing I would say, because you're in a public space, a shared space, I wouldn't recommend taking on anything you can't get done in the same day.
That's a great point.
This is not a place for a project or I'm going to get this done over the next 3 days.
Pulling an engine. Or
that's when you're going to start to have real issues with your landlords or possibly just your neighbors. So if you can pull off, you know, you do brake pads, you do oil, this kind of stuff I feel like you can do in that kind of shared space. Anything more involved in that that may take you hours or certainly days, be cautious. Mm-hmm. Because especially if you get halfway through that project and now have a problem where I have to get this towed, you've got a whole it just compounds so quickly. So be careful.
There was that concept for a while that you went to a garage here in Salt Lake that was the do-it-yourself garage.
Yeah, it was like a U-Wrench-It place. Yeah, and they didn't survive, which was too bad. No, they didn't survive. Yeah. And some places, some markets have them where you actually – it's like a huge shared garage and you're renting the bay with the lift. I mean, very cool, but difficult for insurance and that kind of stuff. So it depends on where you live.
The last idea here for you is whatever car you have, jump on the forums there because other owners of those cars might say, hey, guys, I've got a garage with tools. I love these cars too.
That's good.
That's the last idea. I mean, that's a stretch, but you can say, hey, we both own WRXs. Mm-hmm. I need to work on my car. Yeah, come on over. I'll teach you stuff. I've got the space. You never know. It's not a guarantee.
But you know what? You bring that up. That's maybe a lot more common than you think.
Yeah, that's kind of why I went there.
Yeah, if you start chasing, especially if cars get pretty unique. I mean, I don't know what you drive, but as cars get pretty unique, it becomes more common.
Right, right. And you never know. Mm-hmm. You just never know who's going to reach out. And that type of car is what brings you guys together. Hey, I know so-and-so.
Sure.
Yeah, he's got a ton of tools. Invite you over. And suddenly that's your Saturday garage. Yeah, fantastic.
Exactly. Two really quickly that I can answer in kind of a sentence. John wrote in on Twitter and said he just committed to buying a C7 Corvette Z51 package. Mm. He's trying to finance it and get it all locked up. Would we validate his decision? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Done.
Bravo. Thank you, sir. Well done on that.
Moving
on. Yeah, that's finished. Mikey's, I think it is. Mikey's Ding, I think is what it is on Instagram. Some of these I don't read well. Anyway, he's planning on getting a BRZ.
Okay.
He lives in the Salt Lake area. What tires do we recommend? I'll give you two. He's talking for winter tires. He's going to drive it year-round. He's asking a winter tire question because it's going to be his daily. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've done this. Two recommendations. Of course, Bridgestone Blizzax. I ran WS80s. Bridgestone Blizzax. They were awesome on that car. And then you're going to probably have to say it for me. The Nokian Hapa.
Oh, Hakapalitas.
There it is. The Nokian tires are killer. They're awesome.
I fainted blood, but you know, pronunciation, that, Norwegian words.
Exactly. I'm Scandinavian tires are fine, but blood, look out. Anyway, so the Nokians or the Blizzaks, either one of those, I think you'll be thrilled. So those are two quick answers on those questions.
Well, speaking of winter cars and winter tires, everybody keeps asking you about your winter car.
I know.
I think it's still a little bit early, but
it is
somebody
early.
Did say, I think it was Victor on here, that suggested that it would be pretty funny if you ended up with a Kia Soul. Victor, I will say that if he does, the crew on the International Space Station will be able to hear my laughter. I promise.
I mean, I'm only vaguely looking yet. I mean, the disease is so prevalent in my situation right now is that pretty much 24 hours after I'd gotten the Lotus Elise home, I was online looking at stuff in general, both winter beater related and just stuff for like, you know what I can own next? Not because I have any plans of getting rid of the Lotus.
Because that's what we do.
Because this is how bad the disease is. So if you think you're bad off, trust me, we're right there with you. So there's really no decisions yet on winter beater, probably because we're talking about well less than 10 grand, maybe probably close to 5 grand. So we're going to do that 5 grand scenario of what's out there, not what do I want, and see if we can converge that. But the truth is, that'll probably be like a November shopping experience, and we are so busy the next couple months, I'm excited about driving the Lotus and not really thinking seriously yet.
We've got a bunch of stuff to get through.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of shooting for TV, a lot of podcasts, a lot of driving.
Yeah.
24 Hours of Lemons coming our way.
Yeah, for sure.
Man.
Well, along those lines, actually, Joseph Triplett wrote in on Facebook and asked me a question about the Lotus.
Okay.
Interesting. I've had a few questions along these lines. I wanted to speak this real quick. So I'm realizing a dream of owning a Lotus after wanting one for
a decade.
Pretty
cool.
And I'm driving it every day, which I've never done. I've never had a daily Lotus Elise experience. It's always been, to some degree, the best places to drive a Lotus is where we've driven a Lotus, where it's easy to love. Mm-hmm. So I've already released one video, as you may have seen, where I'm doing non-Lotus Elise driving. Let's commute through hot Nevada in a straight line. Not what this car was made for, okay?
Exactly.
So I bring up the things about it I don't like. And a few people on the YouTube video, and Joseph's kind of alluding to it here, are kind of surprised that I was able to sit there and give I don't really like this critiques about a car I just bought that I've lusted after for so long. First off, in general, we always want to say the good and the bad of every car. Mm-hmm. We want to be as candid as we can about everything. There is no perfect car. And I feel like if I even as giddy as I am in this Elise, if it was just like, this is the greatest, I feel like I'd be doing everybody a disservice. Because there's issues.
And I'm glad.
So his question is, now that I have it, am I happy? Or, okay, it's obviously more focused on the FRS, but am I kind of going, what have I done? Is kind of what he's asking here. Is it a case of don't meet your heroes? And I would say this to you, Joseph. Every car is a series of compromises. And I don't mean that to be tacky. Every car you buy, you're balancing, I feel like, three things at all times in a car purchase. The fun-to-drive factor, the usability factor, and the cost factor. And any car you buy is weighted differently in those three categories. It doesn't make it necessarily better or worse than the car you just owned. You're just trading factors here. Mm-hmm. Very few cars can balance all of those really, really well. Clearly, the Elise is just so heavily weighted on fun-to-drive. I drove it 10 minutes to Paul's tonight. Glorious. Loved it.
He rings my doorbell with a stupid grin on his face.
Seriously, it's just fun to drive in all situations if you're not driving 8 hours in Nevada. So anyway, so I'm loving it. But yes, it's hard to get in and out of. Yes, it has difficulties, but that's just the price to pay for getting this car and going, I'm really driving this, and it's this much fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, those are the things you know you're prepared to accept.
Absolutely.
And you're past it, and therefore the fun shines through.
Absolutely.
Essentially.
But I can't – talking to anybody candidly about it, it's just something about the way I'm wired and what we do. I'm going to admit all of those things. I'm going to tell you right now, how's this car to drive? Let me tell you the good, and I'll tell you the bad. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it, but at the same time – a person standing next to me, you, for example, Paul, aren't going to tolerate some of the real problems with it as easily as I am.
Yeah.
So you have to have that discussion of, I've accepted the downsides. And there are. That's fine. The FRS had downsides. Every car I've ever owned had downsides.
Yeah.
But the upsides for me, I'm loving so much that, yes, I have met my hero. Or in this case, Joseph, I am owning my hero and it's awesome.
I'm so glad to hear that, because it's what you and I do about the debates of cars. You love Lotus. I love Porsches.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ability to turn an eye towards both of these brands and say, you know what? They're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And here's the things. And we can't recommend them in all situations, because what would that make us? We wouldn't be car enthusiasts. Yeah, yeah. We love Mustangs. We love Camaros. We love cars in general. And that's what keeps me going.
I'll give you a great example. I haven't even told you this yet.
Okay.
So my son is all about the Lotus now. He's like the
Lotus.
FRS. He's like the Lotus evangelist. He actually said to me, we were pulling out the driveway the other day, he goes, you know what, Dad? I don't really miss the FRS at all.
You're kidding
me. I didn't.
You're kidding me.
I didn't prompt him. I swear to you, I didn't prompt him. It just happened.
The FRS is the fastest car on the planet.
He got in his little seat, which has flames on it, by the way. It was hysterical. My wife had to go out and shop to get a different car seat for the Lotus, because his normal car seat, little booster, was too wide for the Lotus seat. So she went to Walmart to get a different car seat. There were two that were narrow enough. One of them was just plain, and the other one had flames. And she went, yeah, we're getting the one with flames.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Anyway, so there was $12 well spent. But he's sitting in his little seat. All I've done so far, literally, is I've just started the car and started to back out. I haven't started a conversation with him about it. And he goes, you know what, Dad? I don't really miss the FRS at all. And then, of course, I started asking him questions, but I just had to laugh. But so he is the little Lotus evangelist.
So cute.
My wife actually loves this car, and she actually loves driving it, which I couldn't be more thrilled, because, again, it's a car of sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to give you frame of reference, my mother-in-law was just in town.
Yeah.
My son wanted her to drive it. First off, that's a riotously funny thing, because she can't drive stick. Secondly, I flat out refused to put her in it.
Oh, she'd
because she'd hate it.
Hate everything.
Because I know I know her proclivities of cars, and it will make zero sense to her.
She's
and
a Lexus owner.
I'm amazed and thrilled that her daughter, my awesome wife, wants to drive the thing, ride the thing, loves it.
Yeah.
But she and I both know that her mom is just shaking her head at the car and should not be in it. Which is, this is the difference in that car and different people.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad that he loves it. And this is making as big an impression on him now at 7 years old as that E-Type made on you.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the smells, the sounds.
Yeah,
yeah, he'll remember the FRS. But this thing, that you get a light dusting of fresh LASIK surgery every time you look at the thing, surface of the sun yellow.
It is. It is a Skittle, surface of the sun yellow,
to freshen
for sure.
Up your vision, just take a glance at Todd's car. You're good.
Yeah.
No, I feel like this is making such an impression.
For sure.
he'll remember this forever and the adventures and all that kind of stuff. And it's so awesome.
Yeah, except I need to take him camping and I probably can't take that car.
You're going to have trouble getting through the woods.
Yeah, as much as I pack really well for camping, I don't think I can even get my normal backpack in the back. Moving on, yeah.
Well, speaking of, you know, cars and brands that we have to not laud all the time.
And, uh-oh. Okay, where are you headed?
Well, there's a question from Rich J on here about the IMS bearing. It's rather lengthy. I will do my best to summarize.
Yes.
But Rich is writing to us saying that these IMS bearing fixes for the 997-911s.
The 9971, yeah.
Essentially, the 0.1 cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the 06 to 08 Caymans and Boxsters. So the first gen of the Cayman.
Yeah.
He's writing in about this IMS thing because you and I talk about this a lot. We talk about to not be afraid, but he's also saying that some of our conversation could be misleading to listeners because a $1,400 or $1,500 IMS bearing fix might not solve everything. There might actually be a larger problem. It might cost people more. And so not to mislead with these cars in particular that might lead listeners down the path of, oh, I'll just get it. And it'll just cost me $1,500 when I do the clutch and we'll be good.
Lots of variation on what year and that kind of stuff that changes this equation a lot.
There is. And Rich, thank you for your question. You're absolutely right. We cannot say across the board that we are the IMS authorities. That is not what we're saying.
Other than the fact that the internet is not. I will also say that.
The internet is also not.
The internet, who's telling you these cars are blowing up, is also not correct.
And to your point, Rich, you will get a different answer from your local Porsche dealer, your local independent Porsche mechanic that had the, you know, the full training, worked at the dealer, and then now has opened their own shop.
And that's the guy you want, by the way.
Exactly. You'll get an opinion all over the internet and different opinions everywhere. But what I will say is not all of these cars have the problem or will experience the problem. Mm-hmm. There's boatloads of cars that have 130,000 miles, not a single thing wrong, no IMS fix, and they're for sale. And they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And there's others that, you're right, have had them. I heard a stat from the dealer that said something like, I think it was 5 or 8% of all the cars made, somewhere in there. Grain of salt, take that with a grain
of
salt.
Certainly,
And initially I thought, oh, that sounds pretty low. And he said, actually, that's really high because the production numbers are so low.
Yeah.
And for this problem, he said, that's actually really high. But then... Yeah. Okay, yeah, there's a fix out there. And the fix, again, is not across the board. That's not what we're saying. But we're also saying don't be afraid of these cars either.
That's the key thing. That's the key thing. And I want to touch on it. I get into the weeds on this a little bit. And thanks for this question. Got in the weeds in a little bit. The thing is, the problem is essentially between around 99 and about 08 is roughly all of the cars that encompass this problem. But inside that, it changes too. Those early cars, the 99s to early 2000s, so like the 996 generation 911 and the first Boxster, those are the cheapest to fix.
Right, right.
You get into the 997 and the Cayman generation, the 987 Cayman and that Boxster, those are more expensive, more of the engine. I think, in fact, some cases, they pull the engine. More engine stuff has to be done to actually fix the IMS issue. So you can do 1500 or even, I've even heard of DIY stuff for the 996s and the early Boxsters. But you're talking, I'm seeing a lot of $3,000-$4,000 for the 997, 987. The other thing that's interesting is that apparently of that span, there's actually, I found this out today. I did a little digging because I'm not the Porsche guy that you are. Out of that span, the early cars, like the 99, 2000, 2001, is one IMS bearing design. The 01 to 05 is another.
Correct.
And then the 06 to 09, 06 to 08 is yet again.
Yes.
The real problem children's are the middle. The 01 to 05s are the ones that are most prone, and those are the ones that are running around 10%. So that means if you bought yourself an 07, 08 Cayman, technically still an IMS issue, but even less so than if you bought an 06.
Right, and here
craziness.
I'm thinking,
madness.
I had an 07 Cayman S for 3 years. Not a single thing happened.
I know. That car was bulletproof, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
I drove it. I redlined it. You and I both drove it, high speed. You know, we drove the
had
car like it was meant to be driven.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so to Rich's point here, he was saying, hey, what if you guys had an expert on this IMS issue as a guest on the podcast?
The IMS podcast. Frightening.
it wouldn't be the podcast end-all podcast as far as the IMS is concerned. Because, yeah. again, you're getting another slice. But, yes, it would be interesting to hear an expert who has replaced a lot of them and seen a lot of varied engines come in and say, you know what? Okay, these are the cars that have come in, and it doesn't happen all the time. Yes, it would be interesting. And again, we're not positioning ourselves as
we could talk to Bob about it. Bob is our local indie guy. His name is actually Bob. I'm not making that up. Bob is our local indie mechanic guy. That might be interesting because he knows the show. He might be able to speak to that.
He might be
the guy
I've
talked to about it.
And again, that would be one slice. I mean, there's many people and many companies that resolve the IMS issue. But then again, Rich, why are people buying cars that have had the IMS fixed or not fixed? These cars are still selling.
Yeah,
there's not piles of 911s and Caymans that are unbought because of this issue.
Fair.
I mean,
fair.
There's the D-chunk issue from the air-cooled engines. That's, you know, a chunk of engine block just in the shape of a D on the side of the cylinder just breaks off. This is a huge problem.
We are so far in the Porsche weeds right now.
We are way in the weeds.
I can't even see me anymore.
I like the idea, and yes, it's something to consider, but again, it's ongoing, and I maintain that these cars are not cars to avoid and not enjoy driving.
Yeah, I see that.
I mean, I've even heard, you know, cars that sit in garages are the ones to avoid because cars like to be driven, especially Porsches. They need the lubrication, the daily
the fluids
driving
going
on
through.
Them.
Sure, sure.
You know, buy the ones above 40,000 miles, and you're actually – there's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
There isn't.
Well, this I cannot believe that we are
we're actually sitting here having
a discussion.
We're not in the weeds. We're down
at
the dirt.
Having a discussion about maybe having an entire podcast dedicated to the IMS bearing. I'm not sure I could get through
10,
that.
12 minutes of that.
We've already done that.
I know.
That's happened already.
I acknowledge the question.
And
I
I'm the non-Porsche guy.
But
anyway,
Rich, thank you. It's of course, it's very thought-provoking, but yeah, thank you for writing. Appreciate it.
Wow. Okay. I kind of feel like we have to pull the plug after that. But let's see. What else did I have on here?
Couple more here. What else?
Do you see Adam's question on Twitter? I want to talk to this real quickly. He's asking, what happened to hydrogen cars?
Oh, yes.
The problem is delivery of that hydrogen. That's your problem. Mm. You're talking a pressurized tank. You got to have special tankers. You got to have special infrastructure for the fuel. I mean, ultimately, electricity and gasoline – don't require any special storage, if you will. So you know, the electric thing, you go up, you pull out the plug, and you plug it in like it's a wall socket. Gasoline, you plug the hose in, and you pull the trigger. There's not special pressurized. Now, I know some of you are saying compressed natural gas. That has some specialty to it as well. But hydrogen, I mean, that's the problem, is that the hydrogen fuel cell thing is just – it requires a lot of – special storage, special transport, and then special education for a driver that wants to use it. I heard somebody make the comment recently where things that seem to make a lot of money are the things that make people's lives easier and they have to think about less. Hydrogen cars are going the other way. It's cool tech, but I think once you get granular down to, I'm going to go to the corner and try to fill my – wait, no, can't do that. That's a problem.
No, you've exactly touched on this. The electric car thing, that's the sexy part right now. Mm-hmm. And I think will continue to be so. Hydrogen is just difficult. It just is not integrated into our lives. Mm-hmm. It just isn't. The best manifestation that I have seen is Nikola Motor. They are the startup, as a matter of fact, making the Class 8 big rig semi-trucks.
Yeah. Locally here.
Locally in Salt Lake City. NikolaMotor.com, they have the fuel cell. They store the hydrogen on board with the fuel cell, keeping the batteries charged to get 800 to 1,200 miles range.
Yeah.
And they're a huge semi-truck. They've got the chassis. They've got the ability. And that kind of infrastructure, I think, is more readily available suited towards this rather than the consumer.
For sure.
Everyday person.
And those drivers are used to having special situations they have to go through to keep that rig running. That's something that a driver like that, you could just train. But mom picking up the kids at soccer practice does not want special procedure for filling her car.
I'm out of fuel. I need gas. I have to drive across town to the special place to get the electric car infrastructure is far bigger now, I think, than anything for hydrogen.
As tiny as it is, it is dwarfing hydrogen. But ultimately, let's be honest, the electric station you want to build, you want to add on to your gas station, you're plugging your electric pumps, if you will, into the grid. This is not weird rocket science, special trucks. None of that has to happen.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yep. No, I love it. Guys, thank you so much for your questions. We will end there just a tiny bit early. Man, we're worn out from the debate.
and the random IMS left turn into the weeds. I mean, I can't even see home from here.
Great questions, guys. Really appreciate you sticking with us. And if you've got your own car debate, please do write to us, everydaydrivertv@gmail.com. or on the website, everydaydriver.com. And again, the store is now live. It's been live, but with new, fresh stuff on there.
Yeah, so it's all the new updated logo stuff, which is great.
Yeah. Guys, again, we'll be back next time, and looking forward to it. So until then, cheers.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's fangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Federal government worker Blake Murray in D.C. says he's pretty much had it with the partial government shutdown.
It's pretty demoralizing, and I feel like kind of a pawn in a political game and totally powerless.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is asking President Trump to postpone his January 29th State of the Union address, citing security concerns. But Republicans say this is just politics, shutdown politics, a move intended to keep President Trump off the national stage. Going to prison for 20 years, a Tennessee teacher who took a 15-year-old student and ran for weeks. Prosecutor Dan Cochran.
We think it's a serious sentence. 20 years is a significant amount of time. He's going to have all that time to think about what he did, the consequences of it. We asked for 30, obviously, but 20 is a very serious sentence, and we feel good about it.
An employee and a customer at an IHOP restaurant in Huntsville, Alabama, were killed in a shooting that also injured another employee. I'm Rita Foley.